to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, absolutely wonderful, Austin, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And I'm really glad I'm in the United States. I'm really glad I'm not in China, because it doesn't seem to be getting any better over there. And it's so frustrating. I mean, even the global elites now are shunning commercial airlines. They're looking at private jets as the coronavirus death toll increases. And, you know, of course, the global elites always use private jets. This is a twist on a story. But every once in a while, they'd fly coach or private. They would never fly coach. They'd fly first class. But it's expensive to fly private. Unless you've got about 20 or 30 people going on a plane and you charter, then it gets to be about the same price as buying a first-class ticket, which is ridiculously overpriced anyhow. But it's a mess going on in China over there, and the problem is that they're not really giving us any kind of consistency in the numbers. Now they're changing the numbers they gave us yesterday, and now we're looking at the amount of fuel they're burning and amount of pollution they're putting out and the amount of coal they're burning, and it's way, 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 way down from last year, and it continues to fall. And like you said, talked about yesterday, Austin, they're trying to basically put the factories back online again. Now they're finding out that people are coming into the factories with coronavirus. And, you know, in here, the article from The Nation of Thailand, it says the economic fallout from China coronavirus mounts across the globe. Now they're saying that they're having auto plants are now in Asia and in Europe are running short of parts, and free-spending Chinese tourists are now staying home. This is like why Disney World, like the doggone interstate's not as crowded as it was down here. And the American companies are bracing for unpredictable turbulence as far as different connectors, et cetera, they have to have. This is just part of the financial hangover that is expected to linger for months, even if the flu-like illness is brought under control. Economics and supply chain experts say the Chinese epidemic's after effects are likely to cause the global economy to shrink this quarter for the first time since the depths of the 2009 financial crisis. And I'm going to add, despite the fact that the Fed in both China and the United States is literally pouring trillions of dollars into the markets to try to maintain some type of stability in the market so they don't collapse, while China is now openly fabricating numbers, and now Beijing is lowering coronavirus deaths by 108 due to double counting. So now they're changing the numbers they gave us yesterday because they said, oops, we made a mistake. We said the numbers were too high, so now we need to change them. So 108 people who were dead are no longer dead. I don't know how they pulled off the now dead. It's just so stupid, Austin. You don't want to laugh about it, but the Chinese are acting like a bunch of incompetence. And now they're also putting tunnels going into – they're putting these disinfectant tunnels in China. And what they're doing is they're like a giant circular tunnel that basically is made out of plastic. And they have jet nozzles spraying disinfectants on the people as they walk into the factories to disinfect their clothes and them personally as they go in so they don't touch things and infect people. Okay, that is so stupid. That it may disinfect their clothes. How are they going to disinfect their lungs? If this stuff's in their lungs and they're coughing and hacking and they're spreading this stuff, the first time they cough and hack, the air is going to be contaminated, their clothes are going to be recontaminated, and the surfaces they touch are going to be recontaminated. You know, it's not that simple, especially when people don't show symptoms. And the next question I've got is why in the world are people coming out of Thailand and out of China and out of this part of Asia, and they're not being tested for coronavirus? They're not even being put basically in quarantine. They're just walking around and leaving, and they're even asking. Some Wuhan evacuees are now asking, why aren't they being tested for coronavirus? I mean, we're coming out of Wuhan. This is from Los Angeles. When 195 Americans, including diplomats, were evacuated from Wuhan last month, they were tested for coronavirus on an arrival at California military base. Health officials swabbed the throats and noses of everyone in the group, the first to be evacuated from Wuhan, and they were relieved when all of them came back negative. But as more government-arranged flights evacuated Americans from China in the days that followed, the federal health authorities adopted a new protocol. Only people who showed symptoms of illness during a 14-day quarantine period would be tested. Wait a minute. For some, among more than 600 people who are still waiting to be cleared to go home from ACE's bases, the new rule has left them worried, and they're angry because they're simply not being tested. They're just being sent home. It says, we're not asking for skateboards or toys, said Jacob Wilson, 33, one of more 30 people quarantined at the base of San Diego, who signed a petition this week calling for tests. We were asking to get tested to make sure we are not passing anything to other people or to our families when we return home. I mean, these guys are getting frustrated. Now we have we're having people coming out of Wuhan that are asking to be tested because the government doesn't want to test them, and now we're finding out that a lot of the test kits they're using are showing false negatives, which means the person really is infected with coronavirus, but the test is screwed up, so it's showing them that they don't have anything. So this thing's not going away anytime soon, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Well, there's just so much that's, I mean, the more I keep reading and the more I keep talking to people, I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes globally, complicitly with a lot of governments right now that we're not being told. I'll just be honest with everybody right now. There's some weird things that are going on with these numbers. You know, there's a lot of people saying that this whole thing is being blown out of proportion and that it's not doing it and back and forth. And my whole thing is this, you know, is this whole thing a giant psyop? If it is, then why in the world do we have the giant economic power of China essentially shutting down everything? And so that's what appears to me. I don't feel like they would do something to this extent unless it's really, really designed to just shut down the global economy, which is exactly what it's doing. I mean, we have the fifth passenger cruise ship now that has now been basically quarantined with coronavirus. The Norwegian Jewel cruise ship has more than 2,000 people on board in Sydney. There's now a woman that has been tested for coronavirus aboarding the ship. They've now basically quarantined this ship as well. It's the fifth ship now, guys. And I mean, we're just in this thing. Barely a month. I mean, you know, it started to have the outbreak, you know, the 21st, 22nd in January is when it really started to kind of come to light. And I mean, that was, let me pull numbers here. On the 22nd, there were 500 cases in China. That was it, 22nd. We're now February 14th, and this thing's gone completely global. And just something to be aware of, but this is interesting news, though, as well. From clinicaltrials.gov, this just came out yesterday. China now is conducting a clinical trial of 24,000 milligrams a day of intravenous vitamin C to treat patients with coronavirus and severe respiratory complications. Participants will receive intravenous vitamin C for 7 straight days in Zhongyang Hospital of Wuhan University. Thanks goes out to due to Xiang Pierre, MD, for making this happen. He's the chief physician and professor at the hospital and insisted these trials start, which is close to ground zero for the coronavirus. This is an important study, basically, to watch and see what happens with it, as we've seen in numerous other cases when vitamin C has been used in research studies. They were shown in one study a mere 200 milligrams of vitamin C a day resulted in an 80% decrease in deaths among severely ill or hospitalized respiratory diseased patients, and that was published on orthomolecular.org. So this is why we've been saying vitamin C for years and years and years, not just the last couple weeks, but years. We've always been talking about why it's so important to make sure you keep your vitamin C dose as high as possible. So this is going to be something that's very interesting, because if this actually works, which I think it probably will, and this actually starts knocking out the coronavirus, that's fantastic. The only issue, the next step's going to be an issue, is being able to produce and compound that much intravenous vitamin C and get into that many people that are over there right now. So just something to kind of look at and research, but definitely something pretty cool to see they're actually going to use this and actually see how it does that.
Vitamin C converts into hydrogen peroxide of the bloodstream when taken intravenously. It'll do it some orally, but it really does it intravenously. And it pretty much oxygenates the blood and kills these viruses. I know personally, I've gone in and I've had a lung infection a few years ago that I couldn't shake. I'd had it for about a month and I was coughing and hacking and it wouldn't go away. I had this low-level cough. And finally, I said, the heck with it. I went in to my local doctor's office who does intravenous vitamin C, and I had 50,000 milligrams administered over a two-hour period. And you say, well, that's a lot of vitamin C. Well, you can't take that much orally. It'll just cause massive diarrhea. You can't absorb it, but you can put it into the blood and it doesn't hurt anything as long as you got good kidney function. And that one treatment alone knocked it out. Your mom, Austin, a couple of years ago, same thing. She had this recurring coughing, hacking, whatever it was. I sent her over there to Dr. Robinson's office, and they put the vitamin C in her, and it completely cleared up. And it's so important to understand that in the event that you ever got exposed to coronavirus or you thought you might have coronavirus, that you go to a practitioner who can give you intravenous vitamin C. Now, I'm going to go to meddling here for a second. The Food and Drug Administration has pretty much banned the production of this. Now, you think, why would they do that? Okay. All right, why would they do that? We could speculate that, like, oh, well, they know that it works, or, oh, well, they're being in the hands of Big Pharma, and they don't want to have an alternative to a drug therapy, maybe because of money, or maybe because of the fact that it does work, and if they unleash something that they want to have a large kill rate from, then they'll be able to have a larger kill rate without the administration of vitamin C intravenously. So they have banned the production of vitamin C. The only place they get this stuff now, these doctors that still use it, is through a compounding pharmacy. Then they started reducing and restricting the amount of IV bags that these doctors could get. I'm not kidding you guys. And then these doctors have had to go to all these different protocols as far as getting these different things to use as IV bags. I mean, I've seen it locally right here. I spoke to Dr. Robinson about it before. He suddenly died at the age of 53 a few years ago. And, you know, the whole thing is so weird to me that this is continuing to happen now. But I am so excited that these guys are going to use vitamin C intravenously. Linus Pauling said, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day, along with intravenous vitamin C. He said it would cure cancer. This is Linus Pauling. I'm not making that claim. Don't put me on that category with Linus Pauling, two-time Nobel Prize winner. He worked into his 90s while everybody was, you know, laughing at him about his vitamin C 30 years early. They all died, and he kept working. Yeah, that's just how that worked out for everybody. And see, that's the thing. You know, and that's why when we put together the Hagman Immune System Protocol on the website, one of the primary reasons it is set up the way it is because of the research that I've done over the years. Now, I'm going to say this again. If you ever get exposed to coronavirus or you feel you may come down with some type of viral, whatever the virus is, go get intravenous vitamin C. But in the meantime, keep your body loaded up with vitamin C like this other article says to do. Keep it loaded up with vitamin D3. Keep it loaded up with potassium iodide. Keep it loaded up with all of these antioxidants. It's very important that you understand that our body's immune system is amazing what it can do, unless it doesn't have the raw materials. It's kind of like trying to build a house of block and mortar without having any block and mortar. You're going to put sticks together to try to hold the house up, and you're going to put some mud in the sticks. Well, I guess you could do it that way. It's not going to be very stable. God designed our immune system to work very, very effectively and efficiently if it has the raw materials. It's like a little construction company going on in your house, in your body. And it builds these things, builds the mitochondria, kills all these bad things, and it does it on a very, very efficient basis. Or it doesn't when it doesn't have the material. So that's so very important to understand that, to take these nutrients in high enough concentrations to make them difference. Sometimes, like I talk about doing a loading phase, like you take a couple of the iodide a day for a week or whatever, and then you could go back to one a day, or you do a couple of the D3 a day, and then go back to one a day, especially if this stuff gets over here in mass. And same thing with vitamin C, you just need to take 4,000 to 6,000 milligrams a day every single day, you know, until something comes over here. Then you can take it to bowel tolerance. In other words, if you start getting diarrhea, you back off until you don't have diarrhea anymore. And there we go, talking about diarrhea on the show. That's pretty disgusting. But we have to talk about this because it's the latest world use and health research. So that's what the show's all about. So it's so important to give your body the raw materials that the body needs. And, you know, again, this coronavirus can be spread by people who don't show symptoms. You know, and the CDC is now saying that this coronavirus is probably going to go beyond this flu season and into next year, into 2021. So this thing's not going to go away anytime soon. A Northwest Indiana couple quarantined themselves over fears of the coronavirus when they got back from China because he said, what I just experienced in China, I never want to experience here. He's so concerned about it, they quarantined themselves to try to make sure that this stuff doesn't get passed from them to anybody else. You know, my buddy out there in China right now, Mike, says it's not getting any better, and it's getting worse. And so we've got to realize that, you know, the media is going to continue to give us all this false information. It's so funny to me, and I don't mean funny in an ironic standpoint, but I do mean funny in an ironic standpoint, not as funny like a hilarious standpoint. Drudge wasn't even talking about the coronavirus, just a little bit here and there. It's making all the headlines at the top of the page now. I mean, it's even beyond Donald Trump and his tweets now to Barr, because Barr's getting mad because Trump's trying to get Barr to basically not put Roger Stone in jail. And now Barr is blasting Trump's tweets on Roger Stone and saying, it's impossible for me to do my job. The attorney general spoke with the ABC News justice correspondent Pierre Thomas. Now, here's what's sad about this. Barr doesn't know what to do, so he goes to the news media to try to get Trump to shut up. That's a 12-year-old Trump does with these tweets. In an exclusive interview, Attorney General Barr told ABC News on Thursday that President Donald Trump has never asked me to do anything in a criminal case, but should stop tweeting about the Justice Department because he tweets with his tweets makes it impossible for me to do my job. Bob Barr's comments are a rare break with a president who the Attorney General has aligned himself with and fiercely defended, but it also puts Barr in line with many of Trump's supporters on Capitol Hill who say they support the president but wish he'd cut back on the tweets. I think it's time to stop tweeting about the Justice Department in criminal cases, Barr told ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent. You know, I mean, think about this for a second. What kind of undue influence is this doing as far as to the Justice Department? Here's the deal. I don't like Roger Stone. I'm just going to be just straight out. The man put his wife on the doggone newspaper. They swap couples. I'm not going to get it. I got kids listening. He had an open marriage. He's swapping couples with his wife. He's a homosexual, bisexual, whatever you want to call it. He basically, you know, puts her out with other guys. It's a bunch of sick crap is what it is. I've got no respect for the guy. Barring that, he was treated unfairly. He should never have had a SWAT team come to his house with the news media resulted. He should never be big. They're threatening to put him in prison for 9 years because he basically didn't tell the truth to investigators or under oath or whatever. He was never involved with collusion with Russia. That was never proven. I mean, they got drug dealers that go to jail for less time than that. People, it's horrible stuff that people do. They go to jail for less time than that. So Trump's right. Roger Stone's not being treated properly. The problem is Donald Trump's in an election year. And Donald Trump doesn't want his friend, the wife swapper. Oops, did I say that? Oh, my gosh. He wouldn't hang out with a wife swapper, would he? Oh, no. Whatever, man. Just whatever. But the point is, he doesn't want him to go to jail, but it's an election year, so he doesn't want to issue a pardon, in my opinion. In other words, he doesn't want the blowback, because now the Democrats are saying that in the event that he does something with Roger Stone that he shouldn't ought to do, they're going to impeach him again. So we get to watch that whole circus show act again, which doesn't surprise me because remember a few months ago, before they even had the Senate wrote it down, they said we could impeach Trump as many times as we want. This is a clear abuse of process of the legislative body of the United States using the congressional people in Congress, like that mummy Nancy Pelosi, the weirdo who acts like she has three quarters of her brain, you know, being diagnosed with senile dementia. This is what they want to do to usurp the election and to rewrite history. I mean, this our country, due to the lobbyists, due to the ADL, due to AIPAC, has become dysfunctional. You can't put 60 or 70 people who are dual citizens with another country in our congressional body and have them making laws for our country. It should be illegal. It should be illegal. And this is the problem that we've got right now. So now we've got Donald Trump rather than pardoning Roger Stone. If I was him, I'd just pardon Roger Stone. I would. And everybody involved in all this Russian hoax collusion for the last 3 years, I'd pardon everybody. I'd make it a blanket pardon for everybody involved. I would. I'd pardon everybody. And I would just deal with the blowback. And I wouldn't do it a death by a thousand cuts by pardoning every individual one at a time. I'd put them all on the same whatever pardon and do it all. Then all of a sudden, he can deal with the blowback, and that's over with. That's what I would do. Instead of making us all have to listen to this nonsense over and over and over and over again. He has the ability. Look at Bill Clinton, right when he's leaving office. They all do this. Right before they get out of office, they're going to be out of office at midnight, right? So 11 o'clock, they start signing pardons. 11 p.m., they're signing pardons. They're signing pardon after 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 pardon. Most of the presidents do this. I'm not going to pick on any one of them, because now they don't have to deal with the political blowback of it anymore, because they're still president for the next 29 minutes and 33 seconds, and I can pardon anybody I want. And okay, I got that. But the point is, you know, this whole thing with the Russian collusion has been brought to us by the international banking cartels, who basically want to create all of this negative energy around themselves to control the planet by holding it by its axe, according to one of their top ones, Otto Kahn, who built the second largest house in the United States, only second to the Biltmore House. this is what he said they do, and this is what they're doing with Trump right now. I was on with a show the other day, and when I come in with these opinions about Donald Trump like this, don't get me wrong, I voted for Trump, and you know, he basically is a better solution, I guess, than Hillary Clinton was. But I read you his red flag gun law stuff yesterday that he wanted back last summer. So you know, Hillary Clinton could have never gotten that passed, ever. Never happened. Hillary Clinton could have never gotten that passed, but Trump did, or tried to, you know, with his daughter working, the Kabbalist. Yeah, that one. So all we've got to do is take a look at the entire picture. Now, if, like I said yesterday, if Donald Trump is doing this all in an election year or before the election year, what the heck's he going to do when we put him back in office? He's going to win. He's going to win 2020. AIPAC wills it. There you go. I said it. Yeah, Council of Foreign Relations wills it. Yeah, the International Banking Cartel wills it. Guys, any other president right now, they would have collapsed the doggone stock market. We'd be back down around 10,000-11,000 points already right now. They're holding it up for him for some reason. Why is that? Shadel Adelson, Wilbur Ross, you know, Rothschild, you know, Kabbalah, Third Temple, whatever. The point is, guys, the United States is in a major economic transition right now because of China, and we have the highest Dow Jones we've ever had. This doesn't make any sense, but it is what it is. As long as the bankers will it, Austin, what do you think, bud?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That I mean, it's, I was looking at the same thing in the market this morning when I looked at it. And I think there was even an opinion article on Market Watcher, one of those sites. I read it briefly, and they were basically saying it doesn't matter if it's horrible news or great news. The market keeps going up. This is like unprecedented in history with the stock market right now. It is, because it's fake. It's all pixie dust. They're dumping so much cash into this right now. They're doing everything they can to make sure the market keeps going up. I think their goal, personally, I think their goal is they want to hit 30K. On the Dow. I really do. I think that's what they're trying to hit. They're trying to clip 30. And once they hit 30, they're going to be like, all right, we hit 30. We're good now. We can pull the plug if it doesn't matter. Because, I mean, this can only go on for so long. I mean, you even have reports now out of China. New York Times released an article last night, and they said China's leaders are expanding a mass roundup of people possibly sickened with the coronavirus now, widening their dragnet beyond the epicenter of the outbreak to at least two more cities in what the government has called wartime campaign to stop the epidemic. The expansion of the decree is to round up anyone who should be rounded up, and that's a quote. And the Wuhan area of central China has deepened the nation's sense of anxiety. Officials in Wuhan haphazardly even seized patients who have not yet tested positive for coronavirus, in some cases herding them on the buses with no protective measures where they risk infection from others who have tested positive. After that, patients have been sent to makeshift medical facilities that provide zero support for recovery with little to no dedicated medical staff on hand. These are basically death camps is what they are. I mean, just call them what they are. It basically puts you in a little confined area with a little pad on the ground, and the whole floor is basically rubber. Everything around it's rubber. They can go in after they drag out the dead bodies and basically hose it down with bleach and sanitize it, and then bring in the next group of individuals. They're basically coming in there to die. That's what they're doing with death camps. So when I see them doing this, and I see them going to this extent, and I see the whole market in China collapsing, and I see the production and manufacturing completely stopping, I have to wonder if this really is just a psychop, or this really is truly a pandemic that's just in its warm-up session. That's just my take on it. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. A woman in Belgium, remember I talked to you guys a story beginning of the week in Belgium about the two, they referred to them as African youths. They were 18 and 19-year-old grown men that ran around on a month-long violent armed robbery crime spree with machetes and basically robbed tens of thousands of dollars worth of items from all these different stores. And the judge gave them community service. This is in the same province that I'm talking about this news story now. The woman in Turnhout, Belgium, same area where the incident happened with the two African youths, has now been given a 3-year prison sentence for attacking a Syrian asylum seeker who had been stalking her for months. Patricia, 55, was convicted alongside a male friend who intervened on her behalf after months of harassment and intimidation by a Syrian migrant. Patricia had reportedly engaged in a brief relationship with this asylum seeker, but upon breaking things off with him, he began pursuing her even more aggressively, sending threatening emails, which she proved to the court, and turning up at her home. He did the same on the 3rd of April 2019, the day the alleged event took place. Patricia felt threatened and called an ex-colleague, Tom B., who immediately jumped in his car and drove to her house. The Syrian fled on foot, and they decided to chase him and cornered him down and ended up beating him up with a wooden pole. And so now the district attorney tried to prosecute the case, seeking charges for a hate crime with attempted first-degree murder. Not even kidding. Attempted first-degree murder. The judge, who said the attack was not related to first-degree murder, but was merely a hate crime, an assault, and battery, handed down a 3-year sentence on both individuals. This is in the same area where the two African youths, 18 and 19 years old, carried out the month-long violent armed robbery crime spree in the same municipality and were basically given community service. This is so bizarre, Twilight Zone to me now, where you can have one group of individuals who literally have carte blanche immunity to rob, steal, harass, rape, intimidate, and do whatever they want in a country, and when the citizens of the country get so beyond sick of being harassed and intimidated and stalked, they finally take it into their own hands, and they are basically given jail time. I don't even really know what to say about this. And when we have the same thing now, a similar aspect of what we're seeing now in the U.S. Air Force. The U.S. Air Force has now just updated its dress code policy and has clearly approved process for Sikhs, and Muslims who want to serve while wearing their alleged articles of faith. Under the new guidelines, Sikhs and Muslims can seek religious accommodation to wear any turban, beard, unshorn hair, and hijabs. Expect to be approved as long as their appearance is neat and conservative. Previously, they could only be allowed to do this if they had a formal request and it was granted by a case-by-case basis. Now, this is pretty much open access. This blows my mind. Not only the little headscarf, they like to wear their little headscarf around so they can pretend that they're better than everybody. The fact that they're allowing them to have beards is unbelievably disrespectful to everybody in the armed forces. Since the beginning of U.S. military time, it has pretty much been always a staple that U.S. military servicemen are clean cut shaven all the time, with few exceptions. Maybe like a little mustache. It's always been that case. Always has and always should be, because that's the discipline and honor and respect and the clean-cut appearance that our U.S. military has been renowned for centuries. And now you have individuals that claim, I'm a Muslim, so I get to wear a headscarf and have a beard in the U.S. Armed Forces, and they have now approved it. It's an absolute disgrace to me that they're going out of their way to accommodate a tiny, tiny section of the U.S. military now, completely disregarding hundreds of years of requirements and utmost cleanliness of an appearance in the U.S. Armed Forces, simply so they can be inclusive and allow Muslims to do whatever they want in the U.S. military. Very, very sad to see that happen in the Air Force now, Dad.
Well, you know, Austin, the primary reason that they try to keep clean cut and keep their hair cut real short, you know, is for lice and for other kind of things in trench warfare, because that was a big problem in World War One. That's just people get a little sidebar for everybody. But, you know, it's just they need to really, you know, think about what they're doing here. Are they going to suddenly say, oh, by the way, now because we're at war, you have to shave? I mean, what is really going on here? And this, well, what's going on here is political correctness again. And it's just always the political correctness that has taken over our country so we don't offend special interest groups, you know, or the Muslims in this case, or the transgenders, or whatever. I mean, even Sports Illustrated has got it into this. I mean, they're having a swimsuit issue now to feature a 56-year-old plus-sized and bald finalist models. Now, I'm going to stop here for 1 second. There are a lot of really good-looking 56-year-old women. I know my wife is 63 years old, and she could be in Sports Illustrated. She could do that. She's that beautiful, and she's in that good a shape. I don't have a problem with that. I don't even have a problem with them having a bald woman in Sports Illustrated, or even a one who's a bigger plus size. I don't have a problem with any of that. They want to do all of that. But this is the crack in the dam that's going to happen now. Pretty soon they're going to start putting transgenders in here. You watch. You wait and see if I'm not right. Give it 4 or 5 more years. This will be a transgender, because, you know, they're letting transgenders enter beauty contests now. And see, and this is the problem that we have. It starts breaking down the moral fiber of the society when we start being inclusive with people who want to have a different sex and want to be in a different thing. I mean, right now we have in the United States, think I'm kidding? A biological male right now has decided to run and compete in the USA Women's Olympic Trials. I mean, this is absolutely nonsense. A biological male marathon runner who identifies as a transgender woman, yes, it was a sponge yesterday like we talked about, is set to compete in the USA Olympic Trials later in February. Megan Youngren is set to make history on February 29th as the first openly, you know, they used to do DNA tested on the Russian athletes to make sure they were actually women or men. First openly transgender athlete to compete at the U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials, Sports Illustrated reported. Youngren qualified for the trials after a strong performance running against women. Yeah, I bet he did. December the 8th, 2019, in the California International Marathon. People will try to put it down by saying, that's too easy because you're a trans. What about the other 500 women who will qualify? What does that have to do with you, you freak? Youngren told the magazine, there's probably someone with the exact same story. I trained hard. I got lucky. I dodged injuries, the man said. I raced a lot, and it worked out fine for me. Wait a minute. You're a guy. What's wrong with you? And what is wrong with the International Olympic Committee? You know, it was crazy. Back in the 70s, these Russian weightlifter women, Austin, you don't remember this, did come out. It looked like, you know, Andre the Giant, did come out looking like, you know, Hulk Hogan, did come out looking like they were just surrounded up, you know, like Dorian Yates. I mean, that's what they look like. They're women. And the other athletes got so upset about it, they started requiring DNA testing to see if they were women because they had been so steroided out. And finally, they passed laws against it. And as far as they only can have a certain level of testosterone in their bodies. But a man is going to have a bigger, better bone density, better muscle density, all of this, whether or not he has a lower testosterone level that's been lowered or not. This, if the International Olympic Committee doesn't come in, they're going to destroy women's competitive sports in high schools, in colleges, everywhere. And I feel sorry. This is all, again, due to political correctness. What you should say is, no, you can't compete as a woman. You're a man. What's wrong with you? That's what they should say. But no, they say, oh, we're going to embrace him with open arms. Why? Inversion. It's the Luciferian thing. So, guys, see, almost everything we've been told about everything's a lie. Just a little heads up there. And, you know, so now they're trying to tell us it's okay for a man to compete as a woman because it's okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm not going to say that's okay. Now, if a guy has got a problem because his mom used hormones or whatever, eating too much soy, whatever, and he's got issues, okay, he's got issues. But he can't go out and compete as a girl. See, this is the problem. When we got Barack Obama, who's openly gay in high school, you know, and he marries some guy named Michael, who becomes Michelle, according to Joan Rivers. And we all of a sudden have her walking down the stairs with a silk dress on with, like, whatever, an appendage, you know, and we call her a girl and how beautiful she is. Oh, God, the ugliest first lady ever won. Oh, God, she makes me want to puke just thinking about her. And, you know, and she's unbelievably horrible. She's got shoulders like a doggone linebacker, and you're like, she doesn't look real feminine to me. Something's wrong here. And you go, oh, no, you're being biased. She's not a man. Well, what's that between her legs? No, there's nothing there. Fake news. And I'm like, okay, well, this is really weird. No, the whole thing, that's the point. It's all really weird. It all goes back to inversion and turning God's creation upside down. Ugh, makes you want to puke, Austin. What do you think?
Well, that's well said. I mean, that's why you have these girls up there in Connecticut now that have filed federal lawsuits, basically, the Connecticut high school. The teen girls compete in track and field with Connecticut high school, and they're being beaten now by two male runners who identify as transgender. And so, I mean, that's why they brought this lawsuit about. Now, they said the two seniors, Terry Miller and Andre Yearwood, both males, fully intact males, now claim they're transgender, and they won 15 girls' state indoor and outdoor championship races, according to the lawsuit. And so, I mean, this is just something that, what's so ironic to me, and this is just kind of ironic, I've failed to understand this, I guess, is that you've had all this push for feminism now over the last 10, 20 years. You know, women's rights, women's this, women in the workplace, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's cool, that's great, that's wonderful. We did it, we pushed it, you guys were cool with it, you wanted to do it, great, you got it. That's fantastic. Equal rights, everything. It should be like that. You have it. But now you have guys that are going back and saying, well, we think we're a girl even though we're a dude and we want to race against girls. And then you have the leftists come back out and say, oh, that's perfectly fine. You need to allow them to do that. If a dude wants to race against a girl because he thinks he's a girl, that's fine. He should be able to have that right. Well, then what happened to the women's rights that you were just talking about when you now have men competing against girls? I don't know. The concept eludes me. I don't understand how you can have that double standard on it. So I'm very proud to see this lawsuit in Connecticut. Very happy to see this. I hope it goes forward, and I really hope these three girls win, the real girls that have been basically beaten every single time they try to race against these guys. I mean, that would be horrific. I mean, I can't even imagine being a female and being a track runner and trying to get scholarships to go to college and trying, you know, to do my best and having somebody else come in who's biologically stronger and faster than me as far as completely different gender, but claims they're the same gender and beats everybody every single race every single time, completely smokes it. I mean, it's like that sicko weirdo guy that's wanted to be a girl and got in the MMA fighting and cracked that one girl's skull. Cracked her skull. And then you got that magazine comes out and says, oh, she's the LGBT poster child of the year. She's so brave. She's so brave? You mean he is so perverted, he pretends he's a girl and gets in an octagon ring with a girl so he can beat her literally half to death and crack her skull? That's brave? If that's brave, I don't even know what the definition of anything is anymore in this country. We've become that inverted and that perverted. I don't even know. So this is just, also too, in other news, this is interesting with MasterCard. As you guys know, the biometrics, the facial recognition, all those technologies have been progressing rapidly over the last 10 years. Well, now MasterCard is working on a new payment technology, get this, that identifies commuters by the way they walk, even without any facial recognition pickup. They say the MasterCard is working with transport firms to develop a new system that would authenticate passengers by their movement and gait. The payment provider told MarketWatch that everyone has a unique walk and is working on innovative behavioral biometrics such as gait, face, heartbeat, veins, and body movement for cutting-edge payment systems of the future. President of the Cyber Intelligence Solutions for MasterCard told MarketWatch, we are working with transport organizations where either your face or your walk will authenticate you. The way you hold your phone, which ear you use, how your fingers touch the buttons are all unique to you. Your heartbeat, your vein technology, the way people walk, we can use all of this to authenticate people. Guys, this whole system that they're starting to work on is nothing more than a slave control grid that they're trying to put completely into place by 2030. You think about it, the facial recognition software was beyond nefarious to begin with, how it can pick people up from long distances, put together, you know, their eyes, nose, ears, mouth, boom, pick exactly who they are in a facial recognition database or photo database, bam, they have it. Well, now they found that, you know, people can wear hats still, people can wear sunglasses, people can wear a beard that covers up their mouth. So it makes it increasingly more difficult to use facial recognition. Now, the technology they're putting together is how you walk. So they're going to do a full-blown body scan on you and essentially diagram how you walk, how you move, how your veins basically are on your skin, your heartbeat, which means, I mean, that. So I guess they're going to have biometric scanners that are going to pick up on your heartbeat with sound or thermal. I don't know. this is something unbelievably weird. But again, we know this is where it's headed with these guys, because if you really do the research and you understand, it's always been something when I was younger, I never could really understand it, with Revelations and how it says that every man basically is going to have to take the mark if they want to buy or sell anything. You know, you're not going to be able to buy or sell anything unless you take this mark. And I was like, how in the world they possibly do that? You know, in the day and age that I lived in back in the day, when the internet was just a beginning, you know, conception, and, you know, cell phones really were even nothing yet. And I mean, now we have biometrics that are going to charge you when you go to commute on a bus or a train, and they're simply going to be able to charge you by the way you walk through it, and that's how they're going to determine it's you, and their technology is going to be that good that it's actually going to be accurate. Wow, Dad, and we're in for an interesting next 10 years as we see this market and this facial recognition and this entire monitoring of us, along with the rollout of a 6G system called 6Genesis, come to fruition now in the next 10 years. It's going to be something it's going to be interesting.
Well, this is a gradual transition. They bring us into the new world order when every thought of every man is evil all the time. Let's talk about the biometric scanning. Let's talk about facial recognition. And let's talk about posturing. Let's talk about body language is what they're talking about. You know, as a professional speaker, I was taught back in the 70s and 80s when I did a lot of big seminars that 80% of what you say on a platform when you're walking around is not the words that come out of your mouth, it's the posturing that you have. You know, a professional speaker who's really good, if he's being really sincere, will do something like take his hands and cross them over his heart, let you know, because that tells you that he's talking from his heart. And you think, well, I never heard of that before. Well, it's a thing that when you get into the high-end professional speaking circuit, there's all kinds of courses that you can take as far as how to be more effective. And it also deals with how you speak, the cadence, how fast you talk, how slow you talk, asking questions. Like, you notice I ask you guys a lot of questions all the time because I was trained to do that, because it makes it a dialogue rather than a monologue. Now, let's go back one notch. Let's go back into the 80s, and let's go back and look at a song that Linda Ronstadt did for you guys who are my age. And I think it was called the Shooby-Doo song or something like that, and she did it with the Muppets. And it's a cute little song, and basically what she said is, you'll know that he loves you by his kiss, all right? And it's a funny little song. I get a kick out of it when I hear it, because it reminds me of the 80s with Linda Ronstadt and all the other stuff that she did, because she had some good songs, but some of her songs were really negative, like Blue Bayou. But reality is this. The walk that we walk determines how people think who we are. Let me give you an example. If you see a guy walking and he's swinging his hips and he's got his arms bent and his wrist bent and he's walking like a girl and he's talking like a girl and he's acting like a girl, you automatically assume, whether he is or not, that he's gay. All right? You know, and I always tell people, you know, you'll know them by their walk. You know them how they talk. You know them how they act. But the physical posturing that people have determines so much of what you think about them. You know, as a professional speaker, you're taught to walk into a room, head up, shoulders back, to own the room, to take control of the podium. And there's a really good book out there. It's called Lions Don't Need to Roar. And it's a good book you can read. It talks about leadership and, you know, basically speaking in groups, etc. And the thing about all of this is that I was waiting for them to start doing this as far as the biometrics with walking and talking and head movements. Now, unless you're trained not to do that, like, I've had kids come over to the house before, and, you know, they're being raised by their mama, and their parents are divorced, and they've got a couple of mannerisms that are a little too feminine, and I always take it upon myself to say, you shouldn't do that. And then the response is always, do what? And I said, this mannerism doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. It makes you look feminine. And they go, oh, I didn't realize that I was doing it. I said, yeah, that needs to go away. Now, I'm being real direct with you guys right now. This conversation I'm having with you right now is as politically incorrect as the world can get. Okay? This is like talking to you about posturing and walking like John Wayne did, you know, where people are still guys and women are still women, and people don't walk around acting like they're little girly boys. If you've got a son who has a problem with how he walks, you need to tell him. Say, look, this walking ain't cutting it. You know, this hand gesture is not cutting it. This posturing is not cutting it. And you say, well, that's not right. I shouldn't have to say that to him. No, 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 no. You should say it to him. All right. It's not okay if you're an alpha male or you're an alpha female and you want to raise a boy who walks like a girl. That ain't okay. Oh my gosh, Ted, you're going to get letters on this. I don't care anymore. I'm just telling you. The same thing with a girl. If a girl wants to walk around and spit, you might want to tell her maybe you shouldn't ought to spit. You know, it's bad enough when guys spit, but you know, you probably don't need to spit. You don't need to walk like this with your hips spread apart. You need to kind of like walk like a lady. Maybe you need to take a modeling class and learn how not to be sloppy when you sit down. And you say, well, gosh, Ted, I can't believe you're talking about this. Guys, this is what's happened to the United States. We stopped raising little Americans. We stopped raising little females and little males. So now we got this giant mess. Now we got men fighting women in MMA, mixed martial arts combats, cracking women's skulls. What the heck? You weren't even back in the 50s and the 60s. You were taught when a woman walked into the room, if you were a guy and you had a pretty formal upbringing, that you stand to your feet. Yeah, you stand to your feet. In German, you say, when you have that type of behaviors, ganz vornehmen or ganz formal. You're basically real formal. So you'd stand up and address the woman as a lady when she walked into the room. Well, if she walked into the room spitting and cussing and yelling and spread her legs, whoops, I shouldn't have said that, and doing all these weird things just to try to show everybody how loose she is and how many men she slept with, you know, is that really what we want? You know, yesterday I saw this picture. And oh God, I'm gonna say something I shouldn't say. And it was a bunch of lesbian women, and they were lined up, and they had T-shirts on. And the one row of them said "impeach," and the other one had a row of T-shirts on said "Trump." And the caption on this meme was so funny. It says, "Behold the stench of barren wombs and cat urine." They didn't say urine. And I thought, whoa, and I started laughing. I said, wait a minute, that's funny, but oh my gosh, it's real. These women have decided that they don't want to be women anymore. They want to be guys. And the guys have decided they don't want to be guys anymore. They want to be women. We've done this with our culture. We've stopped raising little Americans. Guys, train them up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it, is what the Word of God says. You've got to train a boy to be a boy, a man to be a man, a girl to take the boy out and teach him how to shoot a gun. Help him buy a four-wheeler. Get him to, oh God, I gotta be careful. Don't allow it to happen in your household. Just do the best you possibly can. The world is pulling your children so hard in the wrong direction. You gotta stand there in the gap and pull them the other direction. Otherwise, what ends up happening, you get into a situation where you think you're a girl and you're a guy and you're a guy and you're a girl. It's being done on purpose by the same group who took down Building 7. By the way, Brandon Smith wrote a pretty good article. He said, the lessons we've learned so far from the coronavirus. And I've got to post it on the website. You can read through it. And I'm just going to kind of abbreviate it. It says, lesson one, the prepper movement was right all along. Over the past decade, I have seen some extremely odd responses to the prepper movement, including a lot of aggression and hostility, not to mention numerous hit pieces and hatchet jobs of the media. What is it about individuals being prepared for potential crisis that sends so many snowflakes into meltdown? Why do they care? Well, there you go. And now we're seeing that the food is limited in China, medical treatment is non-existent for many, and all of this stuff is happening in China. Number two, lesson two, supply lines will be damaged or restricted. As noted above, preparedness is the first step to solving most problems, since most crisis events tend to result in similar consequences, including hurricanes. In China, food and other goods are being rationed, and supply lines in some areas are shut down completely. The only option is to have what you need before the breakdown occurs. Number three, remember, Barack Obama has now said that if you have food, supplies, or fuel stored, there was an executive order he signed, that they can come take that stuff away from you in the event of an emergency. Just because the government didn't prepare and your friends didn't prepare, they can come take your stuff. Lesson number three, never trust the government. All governments lie. That's a fact. They will claim they do this to protect us from ourselves. Another lie. and avoid panic. Now, some of that may be true. But politicians and elites do not care about this. They do not lie to protect society. They lie to maintain power and control. And sometimes they lie because they want to keep the public docile and vulnerable. How about we put them on fluoride? Yeah, that makes them servile and infertile. Why don't we do that? Let's put them on fluoride once we find out how well that works. Concentration camp research. For the more inactive and vulnerable we are, the more dependent we will all be on them when disaster strikes. Boy, I couldn't have said that any better. The viral outbreak in China has thoroughly illustrated why governments cannot be trusted. Yeah. China has consistently lied about the infection and death rate surrounding coronavirus. Numerous health officials in China have leaked information indicating the threat is far from larger than the government admits. It's far larger than the government admits. And some of the brave people have been punished or have died in the process of trying to warn the rest of the world, or they've been disappeared. Currently, China is claiming a minimal and slowing infection rate. Total lie. But on the Japanese cruise ship Diamond Princess, we have a large-scale example of the coronavirus in action. The 3,700 passengers of the Diamond Princess are being slowly tested for the virus. Authorities found over 200 infected out of the 490 tested so far. That's an infection rate, guys, almost 50%. This is a true. This princess. Let me stop for a second. This cruise ship. Now we have five of these ships that are infected. This cruise ship is a microcosm of the planet. It's a microcosm. It's like a controlled study that's being done. You know, not literally, because I don't think they would do that. Gosh, I hope they wouldn't do that. Of actually, if you put people in a confined area, how many people will get infected? And it's been absolutely horrible of what's happening, how many people are getting infected on the ship. It's like a death ship. It's like a ship from H.E. Doublesticks. I mean, what the heck? So it's all a bunch of lies. You know, and he goes on to say, do not think for one second this would not happen here in the U.S. or in Europe either. We've already heard Donald Trump dismiss the virus threat on multiple occasions and does not strike here. Do not be surprised that Trump's response is a draconian China's to understand. Read my article. Trump cannot be an anti-globalist white while working. Oh, I slipped with white. Trump cannot be anti-globalist while still working with global elites. Another article he wrote. I'll post that one on the website too. Lesson four: expect a virus to eventually arrive in your country. Yeah. Lesson five: enforced quarantine is not necessarily for your benefit. Look at the people on that ship. How'd that work out for everybody, guys? It's so important that you're gonna have to expect number six: martial law. You know, with the UN troops running around with little blue helmets. If a viral outbreak spreads through the West, do not be surprised if martial law measures are implemented. If you live in a major city, which you really shouldn't be doing that right now if you get out of there, and see or hear about checkpoints being set up, get out immediately, Brandon Smith says. As we've seen in China, once the walls are put up, you're in, and you're not coming out. Guys, I love you guys. I appreciate you. You know, I pray for you this morning. And remember Psalm 91, though 10,000 fall at my one side, 10,000 on the other side, it shall not come nigh me. Guys, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're always in the right place at the right time every time. There's a reason you listen to this show. There's a reason I tell you how to get your immune system strong and you guys listen to me. There's a reason that we're all linked together in a quantum entanglement kind of way when you listen to the show with me. You guys are my family. My two favorite times of day, and I tell you this, when I pray with my wife in the morning and when I am here with you guys, and you say, well, do you really believe that? Guys, you know me. All of you who know me, who've come to my house, who've come to my office, who speak to me personally on the phone, I'm always the same. I'm not wired that way. I don't play games. There are a lot of people out there in alternative media, geez, and also a lot of evangelical preachers. Yeah, I know a bunch of them, TV ones, big guys, the ones who have huge churches. You talk to them in person, they're one way. You talk to them on the radio, you see them on the radio or the TV, or listen to them on the radio, you see them on the TV, they're a completely different person. I'm not wired that way. I'm just not. I was raised by, you know, hardcore Germans. I mean, I just, it is what it is. You take responsibility for your actions. You don't act like a weirdo and you don't be a fake. So, guys, please be careful who you listen to in alt media. There's people out there that they completely and totally survive on fear porn. And don't do that. Don't do that. We're not going to have some meteorite hit the planet. It's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. We're not going to have volcanoes open up and start swallowing the planet. And we're not going to have tidal waves wipe everybody out. Now, I've told you, we could have a biological attack. And here we are. Okay? I told you that. We're not going to have a nuclear war. Not going to happen. Powers that be don't want the infrastructure destroyed. But guys, you got to stay frosted. You got to stay in the Word of God. You got to continue to prayer. You got to take your supplements. You got to eat clean. And you got to listen to people that you know are telling you the truth. I love you guys. I really appreciate you, too. Also, go ahead and finish up.
Absolutely, bud. I got it. And also, too, I thought this was interesting, just something just kind of like on a side aspect that I saw today. Now, Hangzhou, Ningbo, and Sanya, all these in Chinese cities, have now come out, and they are saying that all the pharmacies will now stop selling fever and cough medicines effective this weekend. They said the citizens with these symptoms should go to the hospital as soon as possible and not stay at home. They announced that basically they will halt the sale of these two medicines to better track and treat the coronavirus. So now if you just want to stay home and quarantine yourself and drink some cough syrup and take your vitamins, that's not even acceptable anymore. So very interesting to see how this is starting to play out. Also, too, if you guys need anything, be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. The GHI Cleanse on sale, vanilla product of the week. Be sure to check it out right now. Lots of good stuff going on. It's actually 20% off. And also, too, be sure to vote for what you want to see win next week as product of the week. And we got the shaker bottles in, got the Ultimate Multiple Chewable back in stock. A lot of stuff we're working on over here right now and doing the best we can to make sure we're keeping manufacturing runs of the vitamin C and D3 to keep inventory in as much as possible. So again, thank you for the support. If you need anything, be sure to give us a call. 726-1834. Thank you for just being our support. Thank you for taking care of us. I mean, just, you know, even just getting the information out there and spreading the information and signing up for our free weekly newsletter, I mean, it helps us out so much because, as you guys know, we do this show every day. No commercials, no breaks, no ads, no sponsors. Zero. 0.0. As you can look on our website, there's no ads. We don't have pop-ups. We don't have commercials on the show. We do all of this because we want to bring you guys the best information. We never want to have the issue of being censored or having somebody try to pull strings on us because they sponsored a show or ads in a show and they don't want us talking about something. So thank you for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Have a safe weekend. Have a good time, but also be safe, be prepared, and be alert as always. We'll talk to you again Monday as always.